What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But they love eating people. They love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sand Hill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seeing a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. I am the great and powerful Mystery.
And I'm Jay Clone 46.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so.
And we have an amazing miniature episode for you today.
Miniature?
Miniature.
Mini.
Mini. Bantam, even.
Ah, Bantam.
We're going to talk about...
Short.
The mini mastodons of Wisconsin.
Ooh. Mini mastodons.
I've been on an Adam Benedict kick, and I've seen... So I only found this out because one of the t-shirts they sell for the Pine Bearing Institute has a picture of a guy walking like a mastodon the size of like a dog on a leash.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And I'm like, I wonder what the story behind that is. And then I found it through his articles and everything like that.
Okay. That makes sense. That would be kind of neat. Wasn't there many elephants in
there? Yeah, there were many elephants, mastodons, mammoths. We'll talk about them.
Well, even like many aquatic ones, right?
I don't know about aquatic ones. What are you talking about?
I thought we talked about like aquatic, like that's what the globster could have been, or what was that one thing?
We talked about there being the possibility of, there were, you were all right, when we talked about Trunco.
Yeah, Trunco, that was the one.
When India, the split between India and Africa was shallower.
Yeah.
There were island hopping elephants.
Mm.
Which mastodons are island hopped, mammoths have island hopped. For their size, they're actually pretty good swimmers.
Okay.
Long distance swimmers comparatively, you know, for being big land animals.
Yeah.
But I can't remember the name of that species because it's quote unquote extinct, but that was one of the ideas that maybe they went fully aquatic.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. So there you go. Do you know how big mastodons were at normal?
Okay. Well, I know
females are smaller than males.
And I know mastodons are smaller than mammoths, correct?
By height.
By height, correct. Not by weight or mammoths density.
Think of mammoths as tall, like they're almost the same weight, but mammoths are much taller and narrower.
Yeah.
And mastodons are much shorter and stockier.
I think of like wider. Like a tree trunk legs or something.
I think of like kind of, I mean, an elephant build versus more like a hippo build.
Oh, yeah, I gotcha. Yeah. So how tall, that was the question, how tall are mastodons, roughly? Yes. Oh, gosh, I really don't know, but I'm just going to guess 10 to 12 feet.
So on average, the typical female stood only about 7 feet at the shoulder.
Oh, so even shorter than I thought.
And the males were the bigger ones. They could get up to 10 to 11 feet tall.
Okay.
With 9 being average.
But the female's only up to 7?
Yeah, so just a little taller than a big guy.
Huh, that's a lot smaller than I even figured.
But their weight, so females easily weigh 8,000 pounds.
Oh my gosh, okay.
And males got up to 24,000 pounds.
Whoa, okay.
So they were considered long-bodied mammals. They had these giant gut cavities because of what they were eating and stuff, like eating a lot of tree bark and like that kind
roughage.
Of stuff. I mean, extreme. They were eating almost wood. but they were huge still. So their height, there's kind of this bad depiction of them versus mammoths.
Yeah, yeah.
Because mammoths look so much bigger. It's so much more intimidating. But they were just about the same size.
That's crazy to think about.
As when we were talking about weight.
That's why Power Rangers, the Black Ranger, used the mastodon.
It the mastodon?
Yeah.
So on top of their short, stocky, muscular body, they had long coats of shaggy, dark fur. Well, not as lengthy as the hair covering on their cousins, the woolly mammoth, and there was other species of mammoth. Keep that in mind.
Right.
Woolly mammoths were the ones that are the famous. When you think of a mammoth, you hear the word mammoth.
Like from Ice Age, right?
But like Colombian mammoths almost had no fur, like an elephant.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And wait, what's the difference then between a mammoth and an elephant at the end of the day?
Because family groups.
I thought it was just like, I guess, kind of all the fur where they lived.
Asiatic forest elephants are more closely related to the mammoth and mastodon group.
Okay.
And then African elephants and bush elephants, which are another type of African elephant, mm-hmm. are more related to like paleoloxodons, which are...
Yeah, what's that?
Supersized elephants.
Okay. Okay.
So one was more specific. So mastodons, think of them more as wetland, dense forest elephants.
Okay.
And when you look at Asian forest elephants, that's what they do.
Mm.
Mammoths were these giant, the same kind of cousins, but giant plains animals.
Okay.
Their giant tusks were used to remove snow and stuff to get, they were like grass grazers.
Right.
They would eat leaves and stuff like that off of trees, but that wasn't their primary food source. Their primary food source was grass.
You would think the mastodons would be that.
No, their primary food source was trees and stuff like that.
And honey locusts, right?
They liked honey locusts. So for anybody, what Jay's alluded to. Honey locusts have really big barbs on their bark.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
But the giant seed pods with the sweet juice in it.
Yeah.
Because their seeds would purposely, they want their seed pods to get eaten by mastodons.
Yeah.
So they get pooped out and spread around.
Those thorns, that's what I call them, those barbs.
Mm-hmm.
They're like 2 or 3 inches long. Oh,
they can be longer than that. I've seen Ooh. Mom and dad's is like 4 or 5 inches long.
Yeah, they're big.
But that's because their trunks are so sensitive.
Yeah.
That it was just enough deterrent that they'd move on to a different tree.
Gotcha. Just grab the seeds.
And if you look at where the spikes are, they only get as tall as like a mastodon could reach.
Huh. Interesting. We'll have to grab some of those seeds. I think it's that time of year.
I just ran over a whole bunch the other day.
Oh, gosh.
They were just falling in the road. Like the tree was over the road.
And it's time to get them.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, very stocky creature. But unlike they didn't have really long hair like woolly mammoths, but they still had dense hair. Artistic depictions of the two giants have caused mate people to believe these two creatures were one and the same, but they couldn't be farther from the truth. They looked very different from each other, besides being, you know, the
big hairy elephants,
trunks and tusk.
Yeah,
but they really did. You know, mastodons were more close to like a boar or a bear or that kind of body style.
Mm.
When mammoths were this giant, tall structures, and the big thing is migrations. So mammoths had much longer legs.
Yeah,
so they could have a longer stride.
Okay.
So it makes it more energy efficient to go longer distances.
Okay, that makes sense. It's like just like a blue whale being so big.
That's a good example. It's just easier. Bigger animals have an easier time, more calorie efficient to go longer distances. Mm-hmm. So mastodons weren't doing that as nearly as much. They still migrated around and stuff like that. But their legs are considerably even short for their body size at all.
Okay.
So they are considered short-legged, long-bodied mammals.
Gotcha. Okay.
Which is just kind of breaking down just stuff about them. So all this being said is it's just, There's plenty of artist depictions that paint these animals looking very, very similar, and they probably did not.
Right.
Even from cave art, they're very distinct from the people that lived alongside both.
Mm.
They were very distinct animals in their cave art, in their behaviors, in their biology, and where, like, mammoths would never lived in an area their whole life. Like, they migrated, they moved, they, you know, there were herds of mammoth coming in and out.
Mm-hmm.
Mastodons called an area home forever.
Okay, so mastodons.
Smaller regions, they still moved around.
Or sat in place, basically.
Yeah, and they could migrate and stuff like that if they needed to. So, yeah. Mastodons have long, short, or stocky. They're like all over the place. And their tusk or teeth, before we get into that, a lot of people don't know. Mastodons and mammoths went extinct kind of the same time, the Pliocene epoch, which is about 10,000 years ago.
And that's when we lost all of our megafauna. Mm-hmm. And you know what? What caused that? We still don't know to this day. There's a lot of speculation, yeah. But we don't know.
And I mean, exactly. I could believe everything from a sun plasma storm.
Because mm-hmm.
if you look at, like you just said, the type of animals that went extinct are like that 10 to 13,000 year ago period.
The megafauna.
But it was after the original Ice Age mass extinction.
Which was like 12,000 years ago.
No, way before.
Oh, the first one?
Like 150,000 years ago.
Okay.
When almost every megafauna that made it through that made it into modern day.
Yeah.
Besides some others at like that 11 to 10,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, mammoths and mastodons, mammoths made it all the way up to, depending on where you look, up to 500 years ago.
Shoot, they're still finding their DNA and eDNA hits.
That was a mastodon.
Oh, that was a mastodon.
But no, you're right.
In Canada, right?
Mm-hmm. You are right, but it was a mastodon and a mammoth.
For anyone not knowing the reference, it was, what was it, frozen in the ice? And
yeah, it was in a permafrost layer with water running over it, so they kept getting eDNA hits.
For mastodon.
Yeah. And they found it was a tusk and I believe some actual flesh still.
It's probably that tusk that the Smithsonian dumped in the river.
No, that was in Washington they did that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but ain't that nuts? That's just nuts. They did that.
We don't need these.
Right. Yeah, just throw it in the river. Don't store it.
So, yeah. So we're going to go to Wisconsin. There was a specific bar in which we're heading to where one of the legends of the mini mastodons originated. It's actually a bar. Is VFW Post 2267 in Richland Center. You can go see this. You can still go to this VFW. It was a location in the late 90s when author Dennis Boyer met a man who claimed to have firsthand knowledge regarding the existence of miniaturized megafauna located within the state.
Mm, okay.
The information in the story that the man shared were unique enough that eventually made their way into Boyer's 1997 book, Giants in the Land, Folk Tales and Legends of Wisconsin. The book, which covers a variety of folk legends collected from all around the state. Wonderful read. You know, check it out. According to the storyteller, story collected by Boyer, mastodons didn't really go extinct the way science believes they did. While a large majority of the herds located in North America at the time did meet their ends at the hands of early human hunting groups, which we can talk about later, it's not true.
Okay.
Well, kind of. Mastodons and mammoths were already on their way out. Early humans did not wipe out mastodons and mammoths by full force. They were early men and picked off the stragglers.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Kind of.
So before, in North America, there were 40 million mammoths.
Okay.
At one point. By the time the Native Americans got here and started hunting mammoths, or the early men in the U.S. started hunting mammoths in North America.
Yeah.
There was only like 1.8 million left.
Oh, so they'd already significantly 40% dropped.
40% of them had died. Or 140 of them were left.
Right.
So, yes, the humans were probably the final nail in the coffin for both species, but were not the originators of
the original driving force of their extinction.
So I just want to make that clear that there is a distinction between those two things.
Okay.
When people say that humans killed all the mammoths, humans killed the last of the mammoths. And the last of the mastodons, and you know,
They didn't start the process.
They were already severely limited.
Who wasn't like the passenger pigeons or the blue pike?
Yeah, we did those.
Yes.
Millions, billions. So while the majority of large herds in North America did meet their end by hunting groups, it seems small groups of the northern giants within Wisconsin decided to change things up a bit. The Wisconsin groups, which follow megafauna, fell into the hands of humans and dwindling food supplies. They decided that there was only one thing they could do, you know. They started to evolve and adapt to become very small. and they started to shrink. Now, this is, like you've already said, Jay, not the only time elephants or pachyderms have done this.
Okay.
Everything from mammoths. There was the miniature mammoths of the, is it the Canary Islands? Or now I'm forgetting. Catalina Island.
Was that it? Yeah.
Yes, Catalina Island. It's 7 miles off the coast, and they would swim out. And the mammoths that stayed there and lived there.
They got smaller, right?
Yeah, they became their own subspecies. Genetically, they were still very close. But mainland mammoths would still swim out every once in a while.
Hmm.
So you still have bones, not just fossils, bones of both sets of mammoth.
There.
So mammoths could get small very quickly. Mastodons, we assume they could too by proximity. Like Adam Benedict is stating in the article and everything like that. It's highly food driven.
As what their size is?
Yeah.
Okay.
So island dwarfism and island gigantism is a fun kind of thing. Big animals get small,
and small animals get big. Big, yep.
So Wisconsin's surrounded by water, and during the last ice age, if it's cut off, there was ideas that glacial erratics or glaciers like sliding past could shut off things for thousands of years and make artificial islands.
That'd be interesting.
So Wisconsin could have been an artificial island triggering mastodons to get smaller.
Right, yeah.
And then what?
That's just a fun thought.
Why?
That's why they got small, or?
Well, it would. I mean, elephants did that. And then same thing with the Komodo elephants.
Yeah.
I think a cousin of Paleoloxodon, because Paleoloxodons, anybody that knows, that's the family group of pachyderms. Paleoloxodons were the biggest elephants ever and the smallest elephants ever.
Mm.
The same family group.
That's kind of unique.
Yeah. Paleoloxodons, they rivaled Paraceratherium with being the largest mammal ever.
Oh, geez, okay.
We're talking like sauropod-sized elephants.
Yeah. That's frightening.
Mm-hmm.
When did these guys live?
They died out pretty quick. The big ones?
Yeah.
They lived with like Paraceratherium and other like super-sized mega mammals. But food's hard when you're that big.
Yeah, I guess so.
You're really subject to droughts and everything like that.
Well, you got to get that big. I see what you're saying.
What?
Times are probably good enough for them to grow that big and get that big. Yeah, and then,
but times get rough.
Yep, they're the first ones to go.
Because they're specialists. And that's any animal. Specialists always go first.
Yep.
But yeah, so he was saying that, you know, smaller size, you know, makes less food and could reciprocate from all the years being, you know, snacked upon by humans or isolation. Becoming tiny also meant it was once easy to spot giants could now efficiently hide from hunting parties and avoid, you know, becoming food, clothing, and weapons. The small caves in the hillside or large hollowed out trees could provide adequate shelter or much needed camouflage. So yeah, adaptations change. If you're not migrating as much, the predators are now looking for big prey instead of small prey.
Mm-hmm.
There's also those pressures being applied onto them.
Okay.
So they could have gotten small quick. And I'm by quick, I don't mean like in one or two generations.
No,
but relatively quick.
Yeah.
You know, 1,000 or less years.
That's selective fast.
Breeding could, yeah. You know.
Depending on how small they've gotten, yeah.
Yeah.
Or if we're talking dog size, especially.
Mm-hmm. Which I think Paleoloxodonts from the Komodo Islands is only like 150 pounds.
Hmm.
You could pick it up.
That's pretty small for an elephant.
A big, like a big Paleoloxodont. And then the other big Paleoloxodont was like 60,000 pounds or 70,000 pounds.
That's pretty big too.
Just monsters.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage 1. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
It's a strange shift, isn't it? The parent who raised you needs some help, and you want to be there. With Care.com, you don't have to do it alone. Whether you're clear on the kind of care your aging loved one needs or still figuring it out, we've got support. Find background-checked in-home senior caregivers for anything from companionship to dementia care, or browse senior living communities, read reviews, even schedule a tour, plus access to safety checks to help with your peace of mind. Still not sure what's best? Our senior care advisors, who are all master's level social workers, can help you build a plan. For a limited time, use the code LISTEN20 for 20% off your initial care.com subscription. That's LISTEN20, all one word, good for 20% off. Start your senior care journey with confidence.
Easter should be the best day of the year. It's a celebration of the resurrection of hope. Come to Crossroads Church and celebrate an empty tomb and a living hope. Info and service times at crossroads.net.
So mastodons. While every new year has passed, the mastodons were significantly smaller than the year before. The size change was so extreme, they decided these mini megafauna could no longer be considered the same species. And that's, you know, you either call them subspecies, and there's arguments about that in the scientific community. They possess similar hair, body shape, and even teeth and tusk, like the big ones, but they were easily about the size of a dog. For a while, these little giants ran free and inhabited the state. But yeah, for those who recognize this point in history, understand why this is bad. Those who know, this was during the time of the Great Depression in 1929 is when people started finding the mini mammoths.
Okay.
So yeah, United States major stock market crash, basically World War II, like until World War II would blossom it back up again.
Yeah.
But people were starving.
Oh yeah.
And that's why deer and turkeys fully went extinct in Ohio.
Our
whole species of turkey went extinct.
Yeah. Yep.
And deer almost were completely extinct in Ohio.
Which is crazy to think about now.
From people eating them during the Great Depression.
Yeah.
But yeah. When stress and urge learn, because it's truly biggest horrible events, as the saying goes, those who not learn from the past repeat it. For a reason, they briefly touch on the Great Depression in this section, because not many people know that many mastodons were also affected by this global catastrophe. Millions and millions of people in the United States suddenly found themselves unemployed and unable to provide food for their families. The mass market food became more and more scarce, bringing people to become desperate and eventually turning again to killing their own food. The target are animals with healthy populations in surrounding areas. These included deer, rabbits, squirrels, and of course, the mini mammoths that were seen in Wisconsin and Minnesota at the time. People weren't the only ones looking for food during this time either. Packs of stray dogs, sometimes being 100 wide, were said to rove around the Midwest.
Yeah.
Because people got rid of their pets.
Gosh.
They didn't want to kill their dog, but no, they couldn't take care of it anymore.
Just let them go.
Mm-hmm.
That's scary too. Like that big of a pack of wild dogs, they would just destroy you if they were aggressive.
Till this time, there were sightings scattered through newspapers and people saying that they'd seen these things. They called them trunked boars and everything like that because they were so small.
Now, I wonder if that's possible.
Hmm.
Just a pig with its snout.
So we didn't have any native pigs at the time that were that big.
Okay.
We're not saying they couldn't have been. It just documented.
Yeah.
And pigs bounce back a lot quicker.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. True.
Just in, probably not for any pig species I've ever really looked into.
Oh, yeah. That big, high count litter. What? And they reproduce so fast, or they reach maturity so fast.
Mm-hmm. So near the beginning of 1933, when economic historians consider the turning point of the Great Depression, the harvesting of mastodons had all come to an end. The once thriving population had been nearly wiped out, they say. There were even thoughts there would only be a handful remaining left, and they could only be located in the southwest region of Wisconsin. Now it's the human nature to desire in what is considered rare. Having something that is in low in number and cannot be claimed by everyone is a symbol of status. You see this with tigers and everything else in modern society. This is rare gems, paintings, cars, antiques, and of course, animals. You know, that's where you see why do drug dealers all have big animals?
Right, yeah.
It's a power symbol.
Mm-hmm.
So since there was a number were so low and easy, people were trying to domesticate mini mastodons. It was a hot item of living in your home as a pet of once tasty and now endangered mini mastodon. After years, the surviving population of the little giants was almost fully domesticated, they say.
Wow.
So there's claims that there's a group in 1930s of domesticated mini mastodons.
Oh, that'd be just so great.
Let's go check them out.
Maybe their farm's still running and operating.
The man in the bar stated that the last mini mastodon in Wisconsin officially died in 1944. Some claimed a few survived into the 1950s, but couldn't be confirmed. Even though the little giants were gone, remnants of their existence still survived in the area. Wallets that were claimed to be made of their skin, ashtray made from their skulls, and kitchen utensils made from ivory, which, you know, their tusks could still be found in the southwest region of Wisconsin. But as time passed, the remnants also faded away. With the last gone, the many mastodons were officially made their end. They're so desperately hoping to avoid for thousands of years.
Man, does any of our listeners from Southwest Wisconsin have seen any of these references to the mini mastodons?
Now, there is a huge chance that this is all fake.
Okay.
That this is just newspaper stories.
Just made
this
up.
This is the height of yellow journalism.
Like the HODAG.
Like, I didn't say that. You said that. But no, where journalists
fake,
are taking a story and running with it.
Yeah, yeah.
The tales of mini mastodons of Wisconsin can be leaked to like real events that took place in July 10th of 1897 in Bourne's, Wisconsin. It was on the day when a heavy rainfall of four Dutch brothers, Harry, Chris, Vern, and Clyde, went out to the flood damage of their father's John's farm and appeared Mill Creek, and they spotted something extremely strange, an extremely large bone sticking out of the creek bank.
Mm.
Curious what they could be, the four brothers started working and digging them out. They finally removed a few of the largest bones and leaned them up against their hitching posts of the road and displayed them for everyone to see. As it turned out, these individuals were passed by that day. It's none other than the local mailman. Seeing the large bones, he continued on his way and spread the word that they discovered on the Dutch farm. Eventually, the word of the discovery made its way to the Richland Center, where it entered the ears of the attorney of the state legislation member, Frank Buchanan. Instantly realizing the importance of the discovery, Buchanan made his way to the Dutch farm, negotiated the purchase of the bone for the state of Wisconsin.
Mm.
When all was said and done, the Dutch family was $50 richer.
Okay.
Which in today's money is about $2,000.
Okay. That's not too shabby.
And the state of Wisconsin was a proud owner of a new bunch of bones belonging to a long extinct, 9-foot-tall, 8-ton American mastodon. Later in 1915, the bones were eventually put on display. In the Bourne's, is known as the Bourne's Mastodon. So you can see the story of the mini mastodons strangely evolved over time. Basically, people started finding their skeletons in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And the thought is that they started finding babies. Some okay. of the baby mastodons.
But some people are thinking that maybe they were fully grown.
So that is like the story evolved in the newspapers.
Oh, that okay.
There was a group, they were finding partial remains of juvenile mastodons. In the permafrost or every time it flooded and,
yes.
you know, revealed a bank and stuff like that. There are still others that really hold that this could be true, that there were many mastodons and it's not just, you know, a story.
So the bones they were finding, are you saying, I guess this is where I'm confused a little bit.
Okay.
Are they finding baby mastodon bones or are they finding baby miniature mastodon bones?
Yes.
I mean.
No, so.
Are they confused?
Are they finding miniature mastodon adults?
Correct.
Or are they finding baby normal mastodons?
Yes.
I don't know.
Okay.
That's the confusion.
Well, I didn't know if you were also saying they were finding miniature.
No, they didn't find any cat-sized mastodons.
Thank you.
Like, you know, skeletons.
Like these are the babies of the minis, you know what I mean?
No, so people started finding the big ones, and then every once in a while they'd find a little one.
Gotcha.
And say that this is a miniature,
mm-hmm.
not a baby.
Well.
And there's a chance that's true. And there's a chance it's not true.
So if it is true, that means they would have to have lived together, right?
Yeah, yeah. And they probably did. Like we talked about with the miniature Columbian mammoths and the standard Columbian mammoths. So here's the thing is, this already happened in the U.S. with the Columbian mammoths.
Oh, okay.
This happened on the Canary Island.
Hmm.
This happened.
Okay. Were they miniaturized?
Were they miniaturized alongside of standard-sized ones.
Right.
So... it's not crazy to me. Now, there's all of this yellow journalism and all that stuff during this time. This is the height of it in the mm-hmm. 1930s where everything was being...
like Weekly World News yeah. and Midnight Star and...
before all that stuff was real, like in its own paper, they would put it in the normal newspapers.
Right, exactly. Entertainment.
So it just... it happened. It happened in the U.S. already. We know it happened.
Mm-hmm.
So could it have happened in Wisconsin, and could this guy have been telling the truth that they tried to domesticate? I don't know. A lot of it seems a little far-fetched, but there's enough realness to it to make me think that there is a possibility. People talked about seeing them in newspapers and write in newspapers like, yeah, I was out bear hunting in the wilderness,
mm-hmm.
and I seen one run by, mm-hmm. you know, and it was the size of a dog, and it had a trunk.
Well, there could be some... correlating evidence that I'm thinking of right now. And with mini mastodons, maybe the miniature mastodons mastodons in general are the ones that built all the mounds in America. So, you know, Ohio has the big mounds. And then Wisconsin has those little teeny tiny like little baby mounds. It's all they got their state can muster up.
You wanted to fight with America's Scary Land?
It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah.
So maybe these mini mastodons are making these little baby mounds that's all they can compete with. Where we had the real size, you know, the regular mastodons. That's why they had the plow of Ohio's over, because they were just too big and grandiose. They didn't want to embarrass the Wisconsinites.
Anyways, I don't know. I really don't know if this is real or fake. But mastodons were amazing animals.
Yeah.
They survived the two ice age extinctions and made it to the epoch, mm-hmm. the Younger Dryas event, whatever.
Whatever.
It's all the same thing. It's all roughly the same time.
Yeah.
You know, between 11,000 and 13,000 years ago.
Something happened.
Now, could the small ones, because that's the one that survived, you know, till 500 years ago of the mammoths.
Yeah.
On the Canary Islands.
Yeah.
Or the little ones.
Could they what?
So is this possible that there are still in remote parts of Canada, Wisconsin,
hanging
on, Minnesota, you know, maybe not anymore. And as in the last 30 or 40 years.
Yeah.
But when you get up to the Yukon, where we still have mastodon and mammoth sightings.
Yes.
Normal mammoth, you know, monstrous creatures. And then Russia and Siberia, where you still have these things.
Hmm. Well, I would just imagine that, if they're still alive, I don't think they're alive up there, in my opinion. I don't know why I just think that, but that's just what I do. But if they did survive, they're probably going to, if they are up there, they're going to be getting bigger and bigger, because what's that? Bergman's law? Yeah. Bergman's rule?
Bergman's.
Where the closer you get to the poles. Typically,
yes. The closer a vertebrate gets to the poles, the bigger
typically they get bigger, yeah. So these guys being all the way down in Wisconsin, maybe they did. It would shrink up a little bit, especially if they're isolated. And
there were mastodons in Florida.
Well, you know, we'll see. There you go. I don't know.
It probably was miserable, but they were there. They find their bones.
Hmm. Well, who knows where those bones got there? There could have been a big flood.
Sure.
Could have been a tornado and dumped them there.
Yeah. Hurricane reverse.
Yep. We don't know how this stuff works. We never do. It's just most of science is just guessing and then trying to fill in the dots in between.
But yeah, I mean, Adam Benedict did a great job pulling it together, but there's not much to these besides a dozen or so hearsay articles saying, yeah, I seen one time.
It would be a nice, cool pet to have, though. Domesticated one.
So there was
especially if they get all excited like a dog and get the zoomies.
There's a Parallaloxodont that was on an island, one of the small ones. There were several small species.
What's that?
That one group of the biggest and largest pachyderms ever.
Gotcha. The biggest and smallest.
Biggest and smallest.
Yeah.
There was giant swans on the island, so there's art you can find where these swans were like two or three times the size of elephants.
Jeez.
The elephants on the island, though, were like 100 pounds.
Still, that's a big swan.
They weren't like 300 pounds, but they're just, you know how swans open their wings and just, they're super tall.
Yeah, oh yeah. They can be intimidating. There's swans that live here, well, used to live here in town.
They're still there.
Well, that black one, though,
that was a long time ago.
Yeah, someone beat it. That's just
hit
awful.
Hit with a car? Yeah, hit and the babies with a car.
Oh my gosh. That's so terrible. Well, when you hang out at the pond over there and they come over, they're scary. Or they would be scary, especially if you're anywhere near their nest. And that's just a normal sized swan. So imagine an 8 foot tall one. I just wouldn't want to deal with that. That's just what I wouldn't want to do. I'd rather deal with the mammoth or the mastodon.
So I just, Paleoloxodon nabranchius, which is also known as the straight-tusked elephant, they were 17 and a half feet tall at the shoulder.
Jeez.
And on average would weigh 24 tons, which is about 75,000 pounds,
that's
right?
That's insane.
No, 2,000. About 50,000 pounds.
That's insane.
So on average, they weighed twice as much as the heaviest mastodon.
Yeah, that's so crazy.
And they were a lot taller, almost three times taller.
I mean, at the shoulder, that's insane. Because I always compare anything like over 10 feet tall. It's just easy in my head. Basketball hoop, you know? So
almost two basketball hoops tall.
At the shoulder.
And then there was one of the smallest ones of the Paleoloxodon. There was one in Sicily, in Malta.
Oh, I like Malta.
That was tiny, tiny. I mean, they have some bones of them. They were only like 60 to 70 pounds.
Wow.
And there was some on the Japanese island, was Paleoloxodon, which is similar to this, that was not as small, but like 400 pounds.
I wonder if like, because Malta is pretty old. There's a lot of cool mm-hmm. caves there and a lot of like...
That's where they found the bones.
There's a lot of history there. I'm wondering if like old ancient cultures and stuff, if they could domesticate these animals and selectively breed them or to get them the smaller like dog size.
Oh, sure, sure. I mean, if you're selectively breeding it, you can make things happen.
Very fast.
Very fast.
But even just in nature, we know with that example of them with the island, they can go pretty fast. And, you know, if you're an advanced culture at the time with a lot of resources and money, and that's what you wanted to do, I'd see it very possible as doing that. And Japan as well, they have a lot of ancient history with them, and it would just be cool if they were doing the same thing.
Sure. I mean, and then there's, now here's a weird thought. So there's a speculative biologist I follow online that theorizes paleoloxodonts may have been tool users.
Hmm. Interesting.
And.
Well, elephants now kind of are.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, there's an argument with the elephants that paint.
Yeah.
Whether they actually understand that they're painting their shape or if their trainers taught them that you paint this shape so they don't understand what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're just doing it to get their treat or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or do they understand I look like that?
Yeah.
I'm painting that. I lean more towards that personally, but I don't know.
We don't know because we don't, well, I'm
sure. But there's some paleoloxodonts stuff.
Yeah.
That looks like they may have used sticks tools and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, why not birds use them? I mean, all sorts of animals use tools. Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't be just that. It wouldn't be out far-fetched or nothing.
All right. Well, hopefully this was some form of an episode.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I was kind of all over the place. It's like just a day after the jamboree.
Right, as we're recording this. So we're still kind of scrambling to get back to normalcy, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I have been the Great and Powerful Mystery.
And I've been J-Clone 42.
Yeah, sure. We'll catch you next week, guys.
Bye! Bye.
Guys, thank you for listening to Cribbins the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J-Clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye! Bye.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Craving the coffee flavor you love, but without the caffeine? Cachava's got you covered with their newest coffee flavor. This all-in-one nutrition shake delivers bold, authentic flavor crafted from premium decaffeinated Brazilian beans with 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Treat yourself to the flavor and nutrition your body craves. Go to cachava.com and use code FITNESS. New customers get 15% off their first order. That's K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com code FITNESS.